Today's daf from Besekhet Shabbat is daf Dalet, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, and we are holding at the two dots, about one-fourth of the way down. So, yesterday we had the question, Gufa, boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye asked yesterday, if somebody was eating pot bitanur, somebody stuck a little bit of bread onto the side of an oven, and suddenly, oh my gosh, it's going to end up being a cruel Shabbos. Oh no, I'll take it off. Is he allowed to? And that was the question. Now, today we want to understand how that question could ever be a practical question. Because Omri Ravacha Barbaila Ravina explained to me, how did it start? Hechidami. Did the guy do this bishogeg? He didn't realize what, he didn't know it was Shabbat, right? And he never found out. What do you mean, he tiralo? Why would he take it off? You know, he's waiting to turn on the TV and have a delicious pita. And he completely forgot it was Shabbat. So if he was low eat karle, lamani he tiralo, who? We're asking, were they matir? Matir who? He doesn't know anything. Nobody came to ask the question of the Rav. Elalav. So I guess what happened was, I mean, assuming he did it by accident, that then suddenly remembers, oh my God, it was already Shabbat, I put it on, I didn't realize it was so late. And now you want to know whether he can take it down, because otherwise you said it'll be Chayav Achatas. But he won't be Chayav Achatas in that case. Because if he was the Yehad of Itkar, Mimechayev, would he ever have had to bring a Achatas anyway? Does it not say in the Mishnah Matznan, Kol chayavei chataot einan chayavin, ad shetei techilatan shigaga, v'sofan shigaga. The entire act had to have been in a state of unawareness. Now, in this case, he's aware and he doesn't want it to happen. That's not called a shogeg to be b'chayav and b'chatas. So why did you say, do they let him take it down in order to avoid a chayav chatas? He won't have a chayav chatas. So that can't be the case. Okay, so what's the case like this? The guy knows it's Shabbos. Somebody's telling him, don't you dare do that. You're going to be chayav misa if you do. I don't give a hang. And he puts it on and then he says, actually, do I have to be this outrageous? I'll take it down. Or now he's done tshuva, you know. So, oh, but wait, Mitarabon, is it mutter to take it down? This is a real tshuva all the way, right? So now the question is, it would be kodem shiavoli day what? Chatas? It wasn't a chatas. If it didn't have been mazed, then it should have said skila. So then it's kodem shiavoli day isur skila mi boile. Wouldn't it have said, do we allow him to take it down before he would be chayev skila or not? And that would be the question. But that's not what it says. Tosfos says, what kind of idiot is going to have himself killed in order to avoid an interruption of not taking it down? I mean, what's the practical implication to this question? Are we raising it? It's stupid. So Tosfos explains that, no, the truth is, if the only reason that he's not taking it down would be because of the Rabbanan, he wouldn't be Chayev Skila, it would just be an Iser Skila. So, all right, so you can't say be totally stupid. And the question, okay, what do I do now? I don't want to be Chayev, you won't be Chayev Skila, but I don't want there to be an Iser Shabbos at all. That's the question, am I allowed to take it down, or since there's an Iser Rabbanan called Rediyat HaPat, which is removal of pot from the side of a tanur, so did the Rabbanan say, no, better just leave it there. Anyway, but I don't understand. So no case makes sense. The case of Maisie doesn't make sense because that's not what it says. It doesn't say Skila. The case of Shogeg doesn't make sense because that wouldn't be Chayav Achatas. So what was the question? Omri Shila, the question, my dear friend, is Bishogeg. What's your problem with the Bishogeg? That if he never knew, which is the only way that he could possibly be Chayav Achatas, who is asking? How about somebody else asking? I see him do this. Meanwhile, he goes off, not remembering in Shabbos. He's off to the movies. I come running in, and it's my neighbor. I come running into Beis Din. My neighbor just put up something on Shabbos. I could still take it down before it bakes and save him from a chayav chatas. Am I, my neighbor, am I allowed to do it? And that's what it's asking. L'mani tiru la'achirin. Matkifor of Sheshet, who ever heard of such a thing? How would we be matir, a person, to do an avera for somebody else? V'chi omrim lo la'adam chatil, k'dei she'yizkeh chavercha. But we're going to tell a person to do a sin. We're going to tell a person to sin in order that your friend should be zeicher. I mean, why would we do such a thing? I don't think that's what it means. Ella Omer of Hila Liolam Bishogeg. It is talking, Liolam B'mezid, and we'll have to change the gears. Read it, Kodem Shiavo Lidei Isur Skila. The point over here is, before he did an act that would bring him to Skila, Revacha Beredarava actually had the gears like this up front. And he read it not as a question at all, but as a statement. And it read like this. Omer of Bibi Bar Abaye, a guy who purposefully was madbik pat betanur, the halacha is he tirulo l'radota kodem shiavoli de isur skila. The Rabbanon did not say that he should leave it there. They actually allowed him to be over the Isur Rabbanon of Rediyat HaPat in order not to come to the Chilul Shabbat, which is an Isur Skila, even though it may not be a Chiv Skila. The next thing we have to worry about in the Gemara is that one of the issues we haven't taken into consideration up till now is what is the surface that allows us to actually perform an Akira or a Hanocha. We've just been assuming as long as you get it somewhere out of there, somewhere at rest. But that isn't really true, and that's what our next problem is, because an Akira and Hanocha have to be not just in a place at rest that we already saw, because when it came to the Yad was at rest, but it wasn't at rest in the place. But there's also a question of what constitutes the place, how much of the place. What type of support in the place? And the din is that you need to have at least a mokum of 4x4 tvachim. And we don't have that. And therefore, a hand should not be the correct way for us to be able to perform akira and hanocha. So the Mishnah points out, and we're up to now, pashata aniyat yado. So pashata aniyat yado, and this would go in both directions. So in other words, whether the ani is actually depositing it or whether it's being taken out by a hand. So either it's being deposited into a hand on the one end, on the end, or it's being deposited into a hand at the beginning. In either event, we said that you would be chayev, whether you're performing the akira this way by taking it out of the hand of the balabait, or whether you're performing the hanocha this way, by putting it into the hand of the balabayit, or the ani, as the case may be. Amai chayava b'inan akira v'hanocha mi'agay mi'mekom arba'a l'arba'a v'leka. Yes. Don't we need to have a place that is 4x4 in order for it to be able to be considered a mokum chashuv, and therefore...
Platform, 4x4?
No. It doesn't have to be a platform, but it has to be something that is, I'm not sure what you mean by platform. Wherever it is in that rishut, if it's on the ground is by definition 4x4 if it's a rishus aramid. So wherever it is, it needs to be held. If it's anywhere above 3 tvachim, above the ground, then it's not on the ground. And if it's not on the ground, it needs to be supported by something. So a hand is not 4x4. So how in the world am I going to be able to deposit it in a hand or remove it from a hand if that's not going to satisfy the requirements of Akira v'Hanacha? Omar Rabba Hamani Rebbe Akiva. This is going Aliba to Rebbe Akiva, who holds the Omar Lobe Inon Makom Arba'al Arba'a. Even though this is an assumption that everyone else holds, Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with it. And he apparently does not believe that you need to have a mokum choshev in order to deposit it on. Where do we see that? It's not. Hazorek b'rishut ha'yachid. Mirishut ha'yachid. L'rishut ha'yachid. V'rishut ha'rabim be'emtza. Rabbi Akiva mechayev v'chachamim potrim. So we have a fascinating halacha over here. If you are throwing from one Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid, let's say you're throwing a ball, and that ball passes through a Rishut HaRabim, between the two Rishuyot, then by all measures that we are taking, which means that something has to be at rest in an area that's Arba al Arba, this can't possibly be a chutzah, because it started in Rishut HaYachid and ends in Rishut HaYachid, and that is not chutzah by any standard. And yet, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayev. The Chachomim say you're potter. So apparently, Rabbi Akiva holds, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Amrinu Kiluta Kamishuncha Adamya, that when something is within the airspace, Kiluta means being held within the airspace, even though it's a vector and it's not at rest even, it's nonetheless the equivalent of lying on the ground, Kamishuncha. And if that's the case, what do I care? If it's in a hand, it's certainly not going to be worse. So it should also be as if it's at rest in that airspace. In which case, the Mishnah is only going according to that Shita, but ain't achinami. Otherwise, we're in trouble, because we would need to have a Mokum of Arba. Wait a minute. The Meimer de Pshitele L'Rabba, de Bekluta K'mishun Chadamya. You mean to tell me that Rabba is so convinced that it's obvious to him that the only machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim here revolves around this issue, and that's the only way to understand it. That is, whether something which is at movement through an airspace is considered, for all intents and purposes, to be at rest in the ground of that airspace. But there's a completely different way of understanding this machloket, which has absolutely nothing to do with that. So if it's referring to that, then it's talking about betoch asara. If it would be above asara in Rishut HaRabim, then remember, we're talking about over here, went through Rishut HaRabim between one Rishut HaYachid and another. The problem is that a Rishut HaRabim, by definition, extends only up to 10 tefachim. So it wouldn't make any sense to say kluta within any other area, because it isn't kluta in a Rishut HaRabim. It's above 10 tefachim. It's in a makom patur, by definition. Remember, no space. A no space is a non-delineated space. Rishut HaRabim extends only up to its usage area, which is primarily 10 tefachim. Above that, it's considered to be outside of the Rishut HaRabim and in no space at all, no particularized space. If that's the case, it's impossible to speak of its being kluta. So what Rabbi Akiva apparently holds, according to Rabba, is that the machloket is specifically referring to a case where it's betoch asara, and the question over here is whether it is considered to be at rest because it's betoch asara and it's within the airspace. The problem is that we have to know for a fact that Rabba himself had an alternative explanation of that machloket. Vami boy boy la Rabba. Rabba questioned whether the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim is in fact referring to lamata me'asara pligi. Is it below 10 tefachim? In which case, b'ha pligi, the question would revolve around precisely what we just described. The Rabbi Akiva savra kluta k'mishun chadamya, v'rabban et savra lo amrin kluta k'mishun chadamya. But if that were the case, if we were talking about another case, which was lamala me'asara, then certainly everyone would agree that it's potter, and that would mean Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have argued, of course. In which case, we are not talking about the other issue. What is that other issue that we're all sniffing about over here but not wanting to mention? The problem is this. It happens to be that in the Midbar, remember that the model for all of the Melachot is the Mishkan. Normally, we talk about Hotza'ah being particularly because of Ayotzi, the way we darshan ish mimekomo. Don't remove it, so it's taking it out of your house in order to bring a gift to the Mishkan. The problem is there was an actual Ha'avarat Chefetz that was part of the Melechet HaMishkan. And that was that the Levim, when they had their Mack trucks over there, the Agalot, would move from the space. Remember, they parked. They couldn't all park around the Mishkan. So they basically parked one truck after the other. And as the Levim took down the Mishkan, they handed the Krashim up. Those Krashim were then passed from one wagon to the next. Between the wagon is an area of Rishut HaRabim in the parking lot, in other words, in the Midbar. And that means that one of the primary Malachot was called Hoshata instead of Hotza'ah. So the Hoshata was from one Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid passing through a Rishut HaRabim. We're going to get way into this much later in the Masechta in detail. But anyway, the question is, we know for a fact that obviously they didn't throw the crushing. First of all, they were incredibly heavy. But, I mean, you certainly don't want to throw the pieces of the Mishkan. So you pass the pieces of the Mishkan from one to the other. The question is, whether could it be, we suspect, that maybe what Rabbi Akiva is really saying is that that model of Hoshata from one Rishut Yachid to another Rishut Yachid with a Rishut Rabim in the middle can also serve as a new format for Hotzah Mirishut Rishut, which is a new Hotzah from Rishut Rabim, from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid through a Rishut Rabim, and therefore we can learn out a new Aloch of Zrika from Mishita, Hoshata, so that we would learn Zorek from Moshet, and it has nothing to do with Hamracha. This is a different type of Malachat Hotza'ah. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the question of requiring the Arba al Arba and Kluta Kamisha Uncha. It's a whole different issue. And it was not referring to within 10 Tfachim at all, because that was only an issue when it came to the problem of Hanacha, Klita, the area which is called Rishut HaRabim. This is called a new malacha, passing from one Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid above Rishut HaRabim. So maybe that's what's happening, and that would be done through Zrika. And maybe, okay, so if that's the case, the Kulei Aman, if Rava is correct in this analysis, the way that he's been learning it here, so then nobody would hold. Kulei Aman lo yafin et zorek mi moshit. We certainly never suspected, so thinks Rabbah, that Rabbi Akiva would have learned out Zorek from Moshit. Or might that actually be what's involved? Maybe we're not talking about Lamata Meyasara. Odioma Lamala Meyasara Pligi. Maybe indeed they're arguing about something entirely different, and that is this question. That Rabbi Akiva Sarva Yalfinan Zorek mi Moshit, Verabonet Sarva Lo Yalfinan Zorek mi Moshit. If that would be true, then the opposite would be our conclusion, that Lamata Meyasara Divreko would be Chayev. Because my time, perhaps everybody would agree that Kluta Kamisha Unchadamia. But, I mean, why is Rabbi ignoring this completely and making it the Machloket suddenly between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim when he himself recognized that there may be an alternative explanation? Why does that bother you? Like, he discovered the answer after asking that question. I understand, because at one time in his life, Rabbi had this as a possibility, so therefore he never ever brought further information to bear. If she delayed, it may well be that he was able to determine that indeed that Savar Rabbi Akiva Kluta Kamisha Unchadamia. That doesn't bother me the least. Okay, so therefore, Rabba is now learning that our mission is going Alibet Rabbi Akiva, and we in fact do not need Akir Nanocha Bimokom Arba'ah Al Arba'ah. Says the Gemara, that's very nice, but all that you've been able to prove is that Hanacha is not necessary. There was no Akira. Remember, did Rabbi Akiva say over here that when you pass, when you throw in this fashion, you're chayef twice? One for landing in Rishut HaRabim from Rishut HaYachid, and the other one from carrying from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid? Because Kluta Kamishon Chadamia means that you did both. It landed, and it moved on. So basically, you managed to do both. You threw it from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim, and that was one Hotzah, and then you threw it from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid, and that's another Hotzah. Now, Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything like that. So, it may well be that you're only Chayav once. And why would you only be Chayav once? Because it may well be that Rabbi Akiva is willing to entertain the notion that you do not require Hanacha in a mokum of Arba al Arba, but that would not prove that you do not need to have an Akira from a mokum of Arba al Arba. Because, look, in the Torah, what it discusses is the Akira, the big Yotzei Mimekom Cha. So to tell me that Rabbi Akiva says, well, it's okay, it's there. Okay, fine, it's there. But how about the Akira part? In our Mishnah, it says both. It says, if the Oni takes out of the hand of the Rishut of the Balabayit, the Balabayit takes out of the Rishut of the Oni. That's Akira. And you're telling me I don't need Arba al Arba for Akira, but how do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need Arba al Arba for Akira? As a matter of fact, if he held you don't need Arba Labra for Akira, then he should have mentioned, at least this is the way Rashi understands it, he should have mentioned that you're chayev two korbanot, one for Hotza'ah and one for Hakhanasah. Therefore, this is an insufficient explanation of the Mishnah that takes it all the way in both directions, both for Akira and Anocha. Ela Omer of Yosef, actually, there's got to be another explanation. And the explanation is that Harmani Rebbe, it's not going on Liber Akiva, it's going according to Rebbe, and Rebbe, in fact, holds you do not need either Akira or Anocha from a Mokum of Arba Larba. Really? Where is that? Which Rebbe? Hi, Rebbe. Where did Rebbe say that? Ilei Mahar Rebbe? Is it this brighter where Rebbe says, the Tanya, Zarak v'nach agabi ziz koshu, Rebbe mechayev v'chachamim potrin. So if somebody throws something from Rashut HaRabim, and now this introduces a new issue, and that is, we're going to discover later, that there is a different hotza'ah we never discussed yet, which is carrying from beginning and end of Arba Amot in Rishut Rabbim. That's because the concept of personal space, which we have in modern terms as well, which actually works out psychologically to this the same shear, because Arba Amot, these are problems in elevators and closed spaces, spaceships and so on, where people can end up killing each other because of the constant violation of personal space, is actually four Amot. And therefore, every four Amot in Rishut HaRabim is considered to be a different Rishut. If you throw from the beginning of Arba Amot to the end of Arba Amot in Rishut HaRabim, that is also considered to be Hotza'ah, assuming there was an Akira and Anokha. Now, the case over here is talking about where it landed on a shelf of some kind, even kolshehu, and that is to say that it was some tiny little thing. So you had a little piece sticking out of the wall, and it landed there, over the Rishut HaRabim, within the ten tefachim. Rebbe says you're chayev. Chachamim say you're potter. And therefore, it's clear that Rebbe doesn't seem to care about emokam arba al arba. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's a special case. You know that. That case over there was hatam kedabino lemeimer lekaman kedabaya. The way Abaya explained the case over there, and this is a more elaborate explanation than we need for our purposes. However, it works out in that sugya, as we'll see, that Abaya had to add some additional points, which are just confusing over here, but they're unimportant. What's important in Abaya's analysis is that we're talking about a ziz kolshu that's attached to a tree. And that therefore, the halacha is that it follows the same way that ultimately we're going to understand that your hand follows your feet. The branch of the tree ends up being actually part of the base of the tree. In which case, by definition, it's arba al arba if the tree is big enough. And it happens to be in that case if I needed to add some additional points, which was there, he said, we're talking about an ilan that was actually in Rishut HaYachid. The nof of the ilan is sticking out into Rishut HaRabim, and it landed on the nof of the ilan, which Rebbe Savar, Amrina Chidino Fo Batari Karo, you throw the extended piece of a branch to be part and parcel of the actual trunk of that tree. And since it's part of the actual trunk of the tree, then it's actually landing on Arba al Arba and Rishut HaYachid. For Rabbanan Tzavi, Lo Amrina Chidi, Nofo but our Ikaro, and therefore this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, for heaven's sakes. What is the answer about the hand? Ella, it's got to be a different Rebbe. Okay, fine. We didn't mean that Rebbe. We meant our Rebbe. Titania. Zorak mi Rishut HaRabim. Rishut HaRabim. Now somebody throws, this is the opposite case, from one Rishut HaRabim to another Rishut HaRabim, and Rishut HaYachid is in the middle. Rishut HaYachid Be'emtza, just the opposite case we had before. But at this point, we don't realize that there might be some significance to that. So, assuming it's the same thing. So Rebbe is Mechayev, the Chachamim Potrim. And here, and this is very important, here, Rebbe Yehuda Amar Shmuel explained that when Rebbe is Mechayev, He was Mechayev twice, exactly the point that was missing before in Rabbi Akiva. He was Mechayev achat mishum hotza'ah, ve'achat mishum achnasah. Now, if that's the case, obviously he considered that the area of the Rishut HaYachid between the two Rishut HaRabims was considered to be munach and ne'ekar, both, despite the fact that it was moving. So clearly, Rabbi holds, you do not need for something to be at rest in a place that is arba al arba. For that matter, it doesn't need to be at rest at all. So, that explains our Mishnah. Rabbi happens to hold this in general, in which case, in the examples he's giving in the Mishnah of an ani and a baal habayit, it doesn't bother him that a hand is less than arba al arba. Alma lo boy, neither akira nor hanacha velo hanacha agabe makom arba'a al arba'a at all. And that would give us a simple explanation of the Mishnah, except for one serious problem. And that serious problem is that Aitma Allah Rav Shmuel Darmer Tavayo, I thought that we explained that case as uniquely referring to not the same thing as throwing from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid with Rishut HaRabim in the middle, but that there was a special reason why it said Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaRabim with Rishut HaYachid in the middle. And what was that special reason? That lo mechayev rebbe Rishut HaYachid mikura. He was talking about where somebody threw a ball through your living room. The window was open. The ball went from one Rishut HaRabim through your living room, which was covered with open windows, and right out through the next window. Thank heavens it was open. And therefore, the problem over there is that we're dealing with a completely filled area, technically. Because once it's enclosed all around, then for all intents and purposes, it's munach within that Rishut, because that's the definition of Beita Kemanda Malyad Amyad. The whole point over there is that since it's covered, it's as if the entire house is all one solid piece. So it is munach in that Rishut. But there's no way to confuse that with the case where you do not have Mikura. Now don't try to tell me that our Mishnah is talking about where it would also be Mikura, because that can't happen. Because the reason that Rebbe said this case is because there's no such thing by definition as a covered Rishut HaRabim. It loses its shame Rishut HaRabim if it's covered. It's only possible to be covered if it's a Rishut HaYachid. That's the whole point. That's why he reversed the case to be from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaRabim through a Rishut HaYachid. So you cannot possibly explain the Mishnah this way, because the Mishnah is referring to cases where you put it into a hand within a Rishut HaRabim. And that cannot be Mikora, because HaTenach Rishut HaYachid Mikora, Rishut HaRabim Mikora Mi Chayav. Would he be chayev in such a case? Did it not say, Omer of Shmuel bar Yehuda, Omer of Abba, Omer of Un, Omer Rav, that in a case where a maver chayfetz arba amot b'rishut harabim mikora patur, you cannot be mechayev someone for moving, from carrying in a rishut harabim that is covered. Why? L'fisha eno dome l'digle midbar. Remember that our model is the midbar. And the rishut in the midbar quite clearly did not have a shopping mall built over it. So it was a Rishut HaRabim that was not covered, and because of that it cannot be a model for a different type of Rishut HaRabim. So we're stuck. Doesn't help us to say like Rabbi Akiva, because we don't know from Rabbi Akiva, Akira, and Hanocha. Doesn't help us to say Rabbi, because we know neither Akira nor Hanocha, since it's referring specifically to a shopping mall, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid. And therefore, our Mishnah remains problematic. How do we know that we can have a mokum less than arba'a to be mechayev, as appears to be the case, from both the depositing into the hand of a person, and it's a chiyuv, and a removing from the hand of a person, and its associated chiyuv, to be discussed tomorrow.
Today's daf is daf dalit, 12 days in Sirat Omer, and what was yesterday a tangential reference is today important to our sugya, central to our sugya. Remember that yesterday we were just analyzing something that was fundamental to the Mishnah, which is what is the status of a hand? We view a hand as being a reshut bifnei atzmah, or is it a no place? It doesn't matter. The nafkamina was, according to Abaye, whether somebody who put his hand out would be allowed to take it back in if it had something in it. Would that be considered that the thing in it is in a makom patur, or the thing is in it is in a karmelit type of thing, in which case it wouldn't be allowed to bring it back in? Now, tangentially, at that point, we asked, in order to answer, we had two braitot, which we originally thought expressed the two approaches in Abaye. So we tried to explain that those two braitot actually weren't arguing about Abaye at all. They were talking about two completely different situations. One of them was when it was Mibaod Yom, and one of them was when it was Mishachecha. And the question is, when did they asr it? Did they asr it when he did an Isser, Mishachecha, but not Mibaod Yom? But that was all very fine. We ended up without an answer to Abaye because of it, or at least it looks like that. We'll see in a moment if that sounds so simple. But because of that, we immediately said, wait one moment now. Why don't we entertain the opposite notion? That if he did it Mibaod Yom, then at least if we make this Gezeira, he's not liable to come to an Isser Chilul Shabbat, because even if he would drop what he's holding into the area that he extended his hand, it wouldn't really be a problem because he never did an Akira on Shabbat. Mashenkin, if he did it Mishachashecha, where he would be likely to come in Isser Chilul Shabbat, because he's probably going to drop it, then we wouldn't have made our Gezeira. Since we avoided making that distinction between the two Braitot, must be that it's an invalid decision. Nobody considered that to be a valid decision. Which itself now it answers a question that was asked by Rabibi, and he wanted to know whether we would be matir someone to do an Isser in order to avoid coming to Dechel Shabbat, where it was an Isser Drabbana. Case being, someone had put a piece of bread into an oven. If he can take it down before it bakes, which is only an Isser Drabbana, then he won't be Mechal Shabbat. If he leaves it there, he will be Mechal Shabbat. Since apparently it's no concern of ours to have this guy holding his hand there and perhaps dropping something, apparently we don't care. Our gezerot stand whether they're liable to cause Chilul Shabbat in a particular case or not. That's the view we wanted to make yesterday. So then, today we want to explore, actually, the Rabibi Bar Abaye's question in detail. But where it stands today, according to what we did yesterday, we did some fancy and loose footwork, but actually we weren't paying close attention to what was happening in the background. What we ended up doing was providing alternative explanations for the machloket between the two braitot, about whether you could bring your hand in. As if the first explanation, Mishachecha or not, that was the one that was going to answer Rabibi Bar Abaye's question, but if we can get out of that, then we don't have a problem. So we said, maybe when it's talking about the window is Lamala Miyasara, when it's Lamata Miyasara, we started talking about whether it was Beshogeg, whether it was Bemazin, and Katsina Shogeg got Bemazin. And the question, that the last approach we took between the two Braitot was maybe one was talking about putting it, bringing it back, and Lav Zero was okay, but to put it somewhere else was not okay. So they weren't arguing. As if that explains away the problem of Bibi Barabaya, correct? But as Tosis points out, it doesn't explain anything away. We're not going to erase the fact that in the Beit HaMidrash, we offered that first possibility, the explanation of two braitot, and nobody thought that it was odd that instead of saying maybe we'll only be konis mibaod yom, mishachashecha, we should have said maybe we should only be konis mibaod yom. I mean, how does it change anything? Rashi insists, the Feirush, that once we make this twist and we give another explanation to the two braitot, it no longer has anything to do with the Rabibi Bar Abaye. How does he explain the fact that it has nothing to do with the Rabibi Bar Abaye? Because Rashi says, look, all along, basically, we were questioning whether a knas would exist that would turn a hand into a mokum that isn't a mokum tur, let's say a karmelit. But actually, says Rashi, the truth is, you know what, as a matter of fact, such a beautiful Rashi. Let's read it. It's a couple of lines long. Bishogeg lo katsua rabbah. So we want to change our mind now and talk about the difference between Bishogeg and the Mezid as the distinction between the two braitot, one which says it's mutter to bring his hand back in, and one which says it's also to bring his hand back in. So we're right at the bottom of the page, nine lines up. The Rabibi lo tivshot miocha lo liyisir v'lo v'yater, says Rashi. Forget about Rabibi. Rabibi is not an issue. Even though in offering an alternative explanation in the braitot, you don't seem to address the question of Rabibi at all. Why is it no longer an issue? Because
The reason the low concern of Shogeg has nothing to do with Rabibi's issues. It's not because we're afraid he's going to drop it. He didn't do anything. There was never anything the Mazer that he did. So you'll say, so? So what? I mean, who's to say that Rabibi Barabaya is Zafka talking about that case? He was talking about the day of Yuchatis anyway. No. There's no connection, says Rashi. Because you see, the case, this is the very central distinction, the case of Rabibi Bar Abaya refers to an extant Isur, which is called Ridiyat HaPat. Now the question is, does that extant Isur apply even in circumstances where it will lead to Chilul Shabbat, correct? But the question that we raise, there is no such extant Isur. What we're discussing over is whether to create such an Isur under the circumstances. A man stuck his hands out of the window, the Bezid, on Shabbat. Shall we tell him he can't bring it back? We never before created a concept that a hand is a different rishut. You're questioning now whether, because he did an iser, shall we be kodesh him as if it's a different rishut? What does that have to do with our Bibi Bar Abaya's question? If you're going to say we do not create such a knas, why do we don't create a knas in the first place to bring him to Chilul Shabbat? What does that have to do with Rabibi Bar Abaya's question about whether, in a case of a standing Isur that applies in an infinite number of cases, if one of those cases is a case where we'll lead to Chilul Shabbat, whether it would apply in that case as well? It's a separate question. Therefore, it has nothing to do with Rabibi, right? Let's see that inside. Because it's the Chazarat Yadu in Afilu Shvot. There's no extant Isur called Yado Ki Karmeli Dami. You want to create such an idea. Well, Ilav Mishum Knasa. There's no such idea, correct? Now you're asking me, do we make a Knas? The answer is no. Why should we make a Knas to create such an absurd situation that because of our Knas, you'll be Bali Deshirul Shabbat? Mashenkin with the Atapat, which was the question of Rabibi Barabai, is an existing Isur Shvut. It was Nigzura Biminyan. It's not a Knas. It's a way of looking at Chochmah and its relationship to Malacha. Skill. Fine. Therefore, Mishum Kodem Shevelo Lidei Yuvchatat Lo Batlu Gzeratam. Who's to say that under such circumstances we should be Mavato the Gzerat? Maybe not. Okay. And how about the Brayta that says it's Asur? You also can't bring a Raya from. Because over here, Midakansu Ben Mezid, what does that prove? The Adam Lekalamechash Dimelish Dino Shevchayim Midat Beitin. Why should we be afraid that the guy will drop it? Let him not drop it, but he wants to come to the ear. Mashenkein, in the case of Knas, he considered nearly redot, and he already did it. It's inevitable. If you put the bread in the oven, the bread is going to bake. But that's not a question of, gee, maybe he'll come to the ear of Katas. It's over, unless you do something about it. So over there, of course, it may very well be that we won't be Konis. Therefore, no matter how you learn it, you cannot apply it to Rabibi Bar Abaya's case. Tosa says, very nice logic, except it's totally irrelevant. The deed that we were making, that Rabibi Bar Abaya should be answered, was from the fact that we did not entertain initially an inverted approach to say that the Knas would make more sense if it was Niba Od Yom, where you wouldn't go Bili Dechiyah, than it would be if it was Mishnah Hashecha. Did that happen or not? You're not changing history. In the days of Midrash, that was taken for granted, and that was your deed. What was still taken for granted. Even if you change the possible explanations, the event happened as it was described here. In the Beit HaMidrash, they considered the fact that the two Braitot may well reflect the two Tzadim of Abaya, in which direction that were more likely to Aser Mishka Shefa, despite the fact that it's more likely to be Bali Dekhi of Chatas. So how does the Gemara now deal with the question of Rabibi Bar Abaya? It still stands, does it not? We prove now that Rabibi Bar Abaya's answer is to be answered in the negative. No, lo itiru. We're not concerned about coming ultimately to Dechi of Chatas. That's Tosis' discussion. So Tosis explains that, look, all along, the Gemara is aware of the fact that it's a little bit silly, if we're going to look at it as a knas, to say, let's be kones Mishach HaShecha. What are you saying? You should have said it the other way around. Let's be kones Biba Odiyom. Let's be kones Biba Odiyom and not Mishach HaShecha? What's the sense of that? I mean, doesn't it? I understand the reason. The reason is because we don't want to come to the Bechi of Chatas. Can you make a knas, which is an absurdity in the first place, to say that where the guy didn't do anything wrong, there we'll give you a knas. But where he did something wrong, there we won't give you a knas. I mean, it's crazy. It's just not reasonable. So all along, we took into consideration the understanding that that's not a normal way to say such a thing. We should never make such an assumption. All the Gemara was trying to do, according to Tosfos, is to say, look, I don't know how you want to look at it. You could do it one way, like this, but then you'll answer a Bibi Barabai, and you won't answer a Bai. You could do it the other way, then you'll answer a Bai, you won't answer a Bibi Barabai. And it wasn't really giving us a definitive explanation. We're just saying, you know, I mean, deep down, you know that that's a little bit silly. So let's move on and give another explanation. Okay? This is not supposed to understand words. The other explanations were all taking into consideration that initially we were left with a very unhappy kind of understanding of those two brises. It was all tentative. The Gemara wasn't saying, so therefore let us answer a Bibi Barabaya. It was saying, look, you can do it this way with one assumption. You can do it the other way with the other assumption, leaving a Baya open. It's neither of them are very good options, because, I mean, we're certainly not going to make it that kind of in that direction, where it turns out to be in Tosfos is Lashon HaChuk of a Tlula. It becomes a big joke to make a knas on a guy who didn't do anything wrong, but don't give him a knas when he did do something wrong. I mean, that's very similar to Israeli law. We don't do that kind of thing. So Mamela, we leave it with an alternative explanation, which is better, which we were always open to. Okay, so Lamaisa Tosfos agrees that we are really, of course, the Gemara is saying, you're right, we can't prove anything. He just doesn't think that Rashi's logic is sufficient. Okay, I was just pointing out that no one in his right mind would really have been willing to give the difference in the brightot as, during the day, we will be cognizant, but at night we won't be cognizant. It's just too silly. And that's why he can't prove anything from it. Okay? But we're left with the standing question of Bibi Barabai, according to this, right? Today, we want to go into that standing question. So it says the Gemara today, on the sixth line down, Guva. Let's look at his question for a minute. Because when we think about it, it doesn't seem to add up. Hidbik pat v'tanur. The question is, hitiru lo lirdota, kodim shiavol idei chiyuv chatat, o lo hitiru. Does he have the right to be mevata of the takonat rabbona of shvut, which is called ridiyat hapat, or not? Omale ravacha barabaya l'ravina, what I don't understand is, what is the case? Echidani. Are we talking about that what? The guy had done it originally, the shogeg, and he never remembered that it was Shabbos. So what do you mean, hitiru? Hitiru to whom? He doesn't know it's Shabbos. So that can't be the case. It must be that he did remember. Oy vey, it's Shabbos. I better take it down, right? Yeah, but the thing is, if you remembered it was Shabbos, then you won't be chayav chiyav chatas. Because you're only chayav chiyav chatas if the shogeg extends from the beginning of the halacha to the end of the halacha. Over here, by definition, if he remembers it Shabbos, it's no longer a shogeg. So if he doesn't take it down, he's not going to be chayav chatas anyway. And your question was, will we allow him to take it down in order that he won't be chayav chiyav chatas? He won't be chayav chiyav chatas, no matter what, even if they don't allow him to take it down. No, but he's not a shogeg. It has to be, but he's not a shogeg anymore. So you might have a shogeg below Yitkar, if he didn't remember at the end, so then Lamam Hitiru. Who are we talking about? Hitiru. And if we're talking about Elalav Dihadav Yitkar, what? He turns around now and suddenly remembers? So then if he doesn't take it down, mi mechayev. But zan kol chayavecha ta'ot enam chayavim ad shtei tchilatan shkaga b'sofan shkaga. In order to be chayev, you have to be a shogeg from beginning to end. Ella what? Is it talking about that he was amazed from beginning to end? So then why does it say l'day yisr, l'day chiyav chavetz? It should say, kodim shiavo l'day yisr skila mibari. Then the question is whether we're matur to take it down before he's chayev skila. Omer of Shila, well, it's talking about the shogeg. I mean, it does say Lideki of Chatat. And when it says Hitiru, it must mean to somebody else. So if you see somebody who puts up a pot, an Eish Tanur, against the edge of an oven, not realizing it's Shabbat, the man walks away, he's going to be Chayav Chatas in exactly 30 seconds. You say, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. Can I go and take down this piece of bread so that the guy won't be Chayav Chatas? That's the question. I don't understand. What kind of question is that? Why should we say to a guy, you do a chet in order to save another guy from a chatas? What are you going to do? You'll save him a couple $100. So therefore you should be chote. It's his problem. It's not your problem. So what would Rabibi Barabai be asking anyway? Say?
Could say, let him do the...
No, why shouldn't we?
Say, yeah,
but why would we? I mean, obviously that's what Rav Shila held. But we're dining on Rav Shila. I mean, the question where it's not your responsibility for you to do an Isser doesn't make sense. Now, Tosfos...
Are we supposed to go this far?
To do an Isser? Apparently not. Well, let's see. Tosfos brings many examples where, in fact, we do. have people do Isurim, Kadesh Yizkech Averecha. We just had one in Brochas. Somebody was Meshakra his Eved in order to have a minion. You're Katayna, but I also need a minion. The problem is that the Gemara answered over there, that because of, we said, well, it's just as big a distance, this is the Gemara answered over there, that it's mitzvah the Rabbi. If it's mitzvah the Rabbi, then it's for others. So then why am I doing it for others? And it's a non-issue. Or we have the case where we bring by Karban Pesach, in order for people to fit in, if they weren't able to bring Karban Pesach before, we'll allow them to bring the Karban Pesach late in the day, despite the fact that you're being over on the assay of completing all of your karbanos on the Olat Hashacha. It's the Kohen that's going to do the chait, and we're doing it in order that a guy shouldn't be over on his. I mean, if you want to answer on the east, you could say maybe it's a mitzvah of a rabbin, maybe mitzvah rabbin is indeed considered to be a general arvus issue. So this is, what about the case where a guy had a shivcha who was going around offering her services to people, and they forced him to be mishak with the shivcha so that she, he was a chatzion her to be mat to her, to marry her off. Why is that? He said, well, maybe you could say that case is also the rabbin, because, I mean, prostitution is like a rabbin. He's Bechadish, very non-acceptable idea today. But all these poor men are basically anusim. This woman offering herself like that. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Like the case we had before. But in any event, maybe those are all unique circumstances. But ain't nothing on me. Two people of the same level. Why would we say that one should be Kote in order for the other one to be Zoka? Each one has the same fee. You have to take care of himself. Tosfos does ask a very beautiful question from the case of a chover who takes off meiser in the wrong way in order to make sure that an Am Haaretz won't be nichshal in eating something that wasn't meiser. Tosfos, isn't that a case of your being chote kadesh yizkech chaverecha? And Tosfos explains, yeah, but that's because it comes from you. You're responsible because you're the guy that sold it to the Am Haaretz. So even though maybe it's not the best way to take off the meiser, but you can't be responsible for somebody's not doing it right. But over here, where they have no connection with each other, why would we be matir one iser for the other one's hatsol? Okay. So that can't be the case, says the Gemara. Therefore, says Ravashi, El Omer Ravashi, Leolam B'mezid. Actually, it's got to be talking about that he put that bread in that tanur on purpose. And instead of saying the words Kodem Shiavoli Dei Isur Chatat, Chiyuv Chatat, say Kodem Shiavoli Dei Isur Skila. That's the way to say it. Ve'ema Kodem Shiavoli Dei Isur Skila. Change the wording of Rabbi Barabai's question. And indeed, Rav Acha Breda Rava Matne La Bahadei. Rav Acha Breda Rava originally had it that way, and according to the Girsa that we have, didn't even have it as a question. He had it as a statement. Omer Rabbi Barabai, Hidbik Pat Petanur. Indeed, he tiru lo lirdota, kodem shiavoli dei isur skila. Now, Tosfos says, this is stupid. Well, how can anybody ask such a question? Who's going to listen to you? A guy decides he doesn't want to be chayav skila. He realizes, oh my gosh, I'm in big trouble. So we tell him, yeah, but too bad, you'll have to die because the rabbanit says it's an issur to take the pot down off of the wall. Well, what's he going to do? He'll say, drop that, he'll go over and he'll take it down. I mean, what, are we crazy? I said, the whole thing is a joke. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Maybe he's not there
anymore. What?
Maybe he's not there anymore.
He's the one we're talking to. We're not being matched with somebody else. So the whole thing is absolutely crazy. What are we talking? We're seriously entertaining the notion that we should shoot someone because he shouldn't be over on his rabbanon of taking the pot down from the tanur. I mean, well, what is this? What's seriously going on? So Tosis points out that obviously the guy is not going to be chayav skila. Because even if he doesn't take it down because of the fact that we're not letting him take it down, he's not going to be chayav skila. We're creating a circumstance in which there's no desire to be mechal of Shabbos. It's certainly not amazing. He's being mechavid. How could we possibly be mechayav of skila? That's not the point. The point over here is the level of the isser. That since we're talking about an act that culminates in the isser skila, so therefore, maybe we should be matur. Even though, of course, he's not going to be chayav skila.
What if he doesn't take it down? He's going to burn.
Yeah. This, our president has asked, for those of you in cyberspace, why not just leave it there to get burned to a crisp? Now, this is actually Zeno's paradox. because bread can never get burnt to a crisp, since it's always becoming infinitely closer to getting completed. It turns out that usually it first becomes bread before burning. So even though we're not able to mathematically explain how that happens, being that there's a series of an infinity of incremental steps, it does happen that way. We attempted to have a little race to see whether the turtle gets to the other side of the tunnel before the bread bakes, or whether it ends up being stuck somewhere in the middle. But it's a very good point that our president raises. Why?
Turtle.
Why?
Yeah, that's right. But why? The important point that is raised here is that either if Lemaisa, and this is really what our president is presenting, if Lemaisa we take into consideration the final product, which is what you're saying, so then if it's burned, we don't have a final product. If we're not taking into consideration the final product, and if what we're saying is the fact that you put bread into the tanur is an isser, so then what's the difference whether you'll take it down or not? Were you over the isser or you weren't over the isser? If the isser consists of putting in bread to break.
That's your
maisa. That's my maisa. I'm not, there's nothing, it's like saying, I take a baby and I throw the baby over the side of the building. And now I say, well, I didn't do anything wrong because baby's still alive. So you can't be Machai of me. No, sorry, still alive. It's 88 floors. Whoops, what? Oh, dear me, that's not my fault. I mean, so then it's the throwing the baby over the side of the building that's Machai of you, no? The Gemara actually has such a question. It questions whether what happens if you run down fast and the baby gets there and you put a sword in the way. Remember, we had that time. A little bit difficult to get there faster. There are ways of arranging it. Yeah, it's always, I mean, this is classic in the movies. Any Ben and Jerry's, Tom and Jerry's. All right, but this is a serious question. Another way of asking the question is the way Tosfos asks the question here, which is, if you're taking into consideration the possibility of Ridiyat HaPrat, then you can never give a guy Hatra'ah. Because what are you going to do? You're going to say to him, don't stick that bread on the side of an oven, you'll be Chayav HaChatas. You'll be Chayav Skila. What do you mean? What makes you think I'll be Chayav Skila? Obviously, I'll take it down before it bakes. So there's every Hatra'ah will be Hatra'ah Safek. And then if he doesn't take it down before it bakes, we say, well, he obviously forgot the warning, because Hatra'ah needs to be immediate at the time he does the Yisr. These are serious considerations. What is the Yisr? Is the Yisr the act? Is this just a condition to the act that it needs to have at some point finished? That's a very interesting way of looking at it. And in fact, Tosfos compares it to cases of conditions. For instance, suppose somebody says that if I go to sleep today, then I swear off food. Or tomorrow. If I go to sleep tomorrow, I swear off food, right? He eats. Now, he's not allowed to sleep. But that's a condition. So he's not over the Isser when he goes to sleep. And at the time that he ate, it wasn't Isser. Okay, so it's possible to create an Isser that is based on a condition, but that seems to be what's happening over here. It's Isser to be Madrik Pat B'Tanur, conditional on its ultimate completion as Pat. In which case, it doesn't matter that it burns afterwards. I kept the condition. So it's not that I need the finished Pat in order to have done the Chilul Shabbat. You see, all of these were basically the questions that he was raising. In all seriousness, I mean, it wasn't well defined, but that was really important.
If he takes out the pot, does he mosif? Is it an avera, a different avera, or part of the same?
If he takes down the pot, there's no problem. The only question was, he did an issur d'rabbanan into taking it down. So that was the question that Bibi Barabayim raised. Can you do that issur d'rabbanan in order to avoid the reality of a chilul Shabbat, despite the fact that you yourself are not going to be chayav in it, obviously? But you did it. You don't want the completion of a ma'aseh of chilul Shabbat, even a conditional ma'aseh of chilul Shabbat.
Let me throw a piece of paper into the fire.
Correct. All of these questions are going to be addressed most powerfully in the question of Hotzah. Because Hotzah is the one thing where the actual malacha is defined by its end. Because I need to achieve an Akira. So in questions of Zerika, we have exactly this question, which we're going to soon deal with. I throw a ball, and somebody comes out of left field and catches the ball before it gets to the guy that I'm throwing it to, in Rosh Hashanah. So it was Munah, but that Hanukh was not done as a result of my original. Or a dog comes along and catches it. Or it falls into a fire and burns up before it can be Munah. All these cases are cases that we'll ask later on. We need to define better the relationship of the act to the results of the act. Because when it comes to Shabbat, obviously that's central to understanding the nature of Malach. So it's very nice to raise the issue right here in the beginning of the Masechet. Says the Gemara, the next case was Pashat Ha'aniyat Yado. Okay, we've now decided that his hand is considered to be a neither Rishut HaRabim nor Rishut HaYachid. Okay. On the other hand, you also have taken for granted that when the hand is in the same Rishut as the body, that if I put something into that hand, Balabayat is standing still, the Oni puts something into that hand, that then it is considered to be Munah, right? Is that so simple? What defines Hanacha? Does Hanacha mean simply at rest within a space? Or does Hanacha mean significantly at rest within a space? The difference is, if it has to be, let's say, at rest, so then if it landed on top of a pole, that's doing this classic little turn around and around and around, you know, is that at rest? It's not moving anymore, but it's not very safely perched. Maybe that's not called Munach. The truth is that Munach is defined, it's not clear how we know this, it doesn't deal with it at some length in a number of places. The Hanacha is defined, Lahalokha, as being in a place which is a minimum of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. We'll find that that idea, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, is central to all of the spatial conceptions of Masechet Shabbat. That is considered to be makom, a significant space. Less than 4 by 4 tefachim is not a significant space. So the question is, if something is in your hand, then it's not in a significant space in terms of Hanukkah. It may be in the context of overall space, which is a Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaYachid, but it's not Munach in that space. So again, we have two issues. We have the issue of the presence of the object, and we have the issue of the Hanachic presence of the object. Okay? So asks the Gemara, Amai Chayav, Abinan Akira V'Hanacha, Me'agabi Makom Arba'al Arba'a V'Leka. We require a place of 4 by 4 tefachim, both for Akira and Hanacha, and our Mishnah seems to imply that we don't. Both for Akira and Hanacha. It says if the Oni puts it into the hand of the Ba'al HaBayit, that he would be Chayav, even though the hand of the Ba'al HaBayit is not 4 by 4. It furthermore says if he picks it up out of the hand of the Ba'al HaBayit, he will be Chayav, which is Akira. So that means you don't need... What?
It's sort of like the Gemara saying Me'al and Le'al from a place of 4 by 4.
Yeah. Presumably. Yes. This is an issue that comes up very often in grammar, in terms of what preposition do you use when you have a list of various verbs. Which one is two, of, four, and so on and so forth. We're using may instead of going through the list. Al, ve'akira, me'al, so on. This happens all the time. It's a rough situation in writing. I come across it all the time. Omar Rabba, I'll tell you, said Rabba, we'll have to say that this is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of the requirement of having a space of 4 by 4. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Akiva doesn't seem to hold of requiring the concept of at rest at all in order to be munach. How do I know that? Because the case is, the Tzran has zorek v'reshut ha'yachid v'reshut ha'yachid v'reshut ha'abim be'emza. Let us say that I'm standing in one yard, my friend is standing in a yard across the street, and I want to play ball. So I take the ball, throw it across the street into the other guy's yard. It lands in a Rishut HaYachid. So it's from Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid. I didn't do a Hotza'ah by any definition. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Akiva, you're Chayav. Why would you be Chayav? Obviously, he considers the transit of the ball across Rishut HaRabim that it would be the equivalent of a landing in Rishut HaRabim. So therefore, even though it was never Munach, it was Kalut. Kalut is a very interesting word that doesn't have a clear-cut English equivalent, and therefore it serves in Hebrew for a very large range of ideas that in terms of physics make a great deal of sense. We use Kalut in the sense of receiver, Maklet radio, Maklet television. Recording is a Kaletet. It's something that has made its impact and is now preserved in that place, right? But it's interesting that we use it very, very strongly for issues like this idea. In other words, a passing wave that has been now recorded where it is. And physically speaking, that's exactly what's happening now. It's passing through Rishut HaRabim. Okay, but it's recorded, so to speak, in Rishut HaRabim. Its passage is recorded. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, it is now kalut within Rishut HaRabim, despite the fact that it's passing by. Okay, like the same as an electromagnetic wave. So we see that as a klita, even though it's not halakha. Okay,
like,
fascinating.
Like its presence is noted.
Its presence is noted. Brilliant. Our president is active today. Okay, we will see the Gemara will soon be medayik that point, according to Rashi. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're chayav, according to Rachamim, you're potter. Clearly, Rabbi Akiva holds, Amrin kluta, kamishon chadamim, the klita of something within a space is the equivalent of its being at rest in that space. For Rabbanan Tzavri, lo amrin kluta, kamishon chadamim, according to the Rabbanan, we don't say that passage through a space is the equivalent of being at rest in it. So therefore, I never did a ma'asev hotza'ah at all. Now, are you saying, Rabbah, that you're convinced that that's the meaning of the Mishnah? The Machloket, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, is the Machloket about whether Kluta is Kamishun Chadamya? But the problem is that Rabbah himself raised the issue about whether that's the Machloket in the Mishnah. If this is the Machloket, then clearly the ball had to have passed within 10 Tfachim of the ground, isn't that so? Because if it passed within, above 10 Tfachim of the ground, as we've already learned, above 10 tefachim is no space when it comes to Rishut HaRabim. So if I throw a ball, I mean, usually I throw a ball above 10 tefachim. If I throw the ball, it passes above 10 tefachim, now lands in the other Rishut. Basically what I did is I went from Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid through a Makom Ptur. So how could I possibly be chayav according to Rabbi Akiva? The only way I could say kaluta is if it was within 10 tefachim, and then it could register within the space of the Rishut HaRabim. Or if I rolled it. I see he's thinking in South African terms. Okay, what is that silly game they play? There's no ceiling.
He's trying to change the Makom
Ptur. 10 Tfachim would be the ceiling. No. 10 Tfachim is a meter. No. Yes. They didn't play those games. So the question is, and that would limit the Mishnah, the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, to being betoch hasara. You'd have to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. The homie boy, they rot. Rabbi himself wasn't certain that that was the approach of the Mishnah, and now you're telling me that Rabbi wants to use this Mishnah to explain that we're going according to Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, even though he wasn't even sure that there exists such a sheet in Rabbi Akiva. What was the alternative explanation of that Mishnah? Ah, because Rabbi wanted to know when it came to that Mishnah itself. He asked it as follows. Lemata me'asar plegin? Is the machloket in that Mishnah between the Rabban and Rabbi Akiva dafka limited to throwing the ball within 10 tefachim? Ubaha plegin? And then the machlokas would be that Rabbi Akiva holds kaluta is the equivalent of anoch. And the Rabban would hold no. Lo amin kaluta kibishun kadamka. But in that case, lemala me'asar divrei akol patur. In that case, if it was above 10 tefachim, then for sure nobody could possibly say you'd be chayav because it's a no space. And that would be based on an assumption that l'kulei alma lo yalfinan zorek mi moshit. Now, in order to understand those words, we have to have a momentary introduction. And that is, there's a whole different type of hutzah, which is learned from an entirely different event in the midbar. And that is called moshit. Moshit means passing something into someone else's hands. And that idea comes from the fact that in order to take down the Mishkan, to transport the Mishkan, it was necessary to take a piece of wood, lift it up, these were the large crushing, lift up the carriage, put it on top of the trucks that they used for transporting the Mishkan, which were lined up. So they would take the Mishkan, put it to a truck, the people on that truck would move it across the people on the next truck, across the midbar. And it would be passed back until they loaded up the back truck and then so on and so forth, right? Now that means that there was a malacha that was done for the Mishkan that consisted of passing krashim over an empty space from one Rishut HaYachid, one truck, to another truck, another Rishut HaYachid. But that was done particularly with Hoshata.
Above 10.
Yes, that's a whole new idea. Now that Hoshata... On the contrary, the other way it sinks upwards, in which case he wakes up. You know what? Maybe some flags with the nautical flags. warnings or things like that.
Given the Gemara brachos on dreams, you should really have like a coffee cup of some kind. You know, but this thing sinking down, I think it's.
You think it's too suggestive?
Airplane.
So now this would mean, if you want to explain that the Machlokas in the Mishnah is talking about dafka with a klutik lishum chadanya, it's because you ignore the similarity of throwing a ball to passing a keresh. In other words, for sure this has nothing to do with the relationship of Zerika to the din of Moshi to Mirushut HaYachid, Mirushut HaYachid with Mirushut HaRabim Be'emza. That's not the way we want to understand that Mishnah. But there's an alternative, Odilma, and the Rabbah continues, or I could learn that the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan has nothing to do with the concept of Klutik Mishum Chadamya. Everybody may agree Klutik Mishum Chadamya as far as I'm concerned. And maybe the Machloket here is because it's above 10 Tvachim, and therefore it has nothing to do with Klutik Mishum Chadamya, because it's a no space. What's the point of being colored in a no space? So maybe it's talking about Lamala Me'asarap Ligi Bahap Ligi. Machloket being the Rabbi Akiva Savar, Yalfinan Zarek Mi Moshid. Rabbi Akiva says throwing a ball is no different than passing a keresh. And therefore there exists a malacha called throwing a ball across a Rishut HaRabim, from one Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid. Pretend my Rishut HaYachid is one of the Agalot HaMidbar. The other Rishut HaYachid is one of the Agalot HaMidbar. And the area in between was the area between the Agalot. What's the problem? Are we all right? What's your problem? Articulate your problem. Don't give me faces.
Focus.
Ah, that's the problem. That's the problem. I can't help. But there's no conceptual problem. There's only a problem with conceptual. That's the previous answer. Was Kulei Amal Lo Yalfin and Zorik
Rimoshi. Okay, so how does that
work? What?
How is that?
First approach was that they're arguing in Klutik Mishum Chadamya. That's the solving the problem. The second approach is that they're not arguing Klutik Mishum, but they're arguing as to whether throwing is the equivalent of passing. So, and that would be a Machlokas Lamala Me'asara. Rabbi Akiva, by the way, there's a question as whether it means Dafka Lamala Me'asara. In other words, is there no din of Hoshata Lamata Me'asara? First, let's discuss this in a minute, because we could have offered an alternative. Everybody else Klutas Lap. Lap Kavishun Kadanya. And it's Lamata Me'asara. Why do we have to leave it for Lamata Me'asara? And the Machlokas is whether Yalfinan for Moshe leave in Lamata Me'asara. Right? I'm sure this strikes you immediately. Why are we doing this way? Okay. But anyway, let's ignore that question. For now, we'll get to this in Perikas already. So maybe the Machlokas is that they're arguing Lamala Me'asara. Rabbi Akiva holds we learn out Zorek Mimoshe. The Rabbanan holds we don't learn out Zorek Mimoshe. But Lamata Me'asara, everybody holds you would be hired maybe. Why? My time up. I mean, it's Klutik Mishum Chadamya. Okay, gentlemen, you're all falling asleep. Let me review this briefly, just so we can see what happened. It's very simple. The Mishnah says, a hand is not a Rishus HaRabim, and it's not a Rishus HaYof. What is going on there? Not a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYof. However, a hand that's attached to a body that is in a particular Rishus seems to have the same din as where that body is. However, we ask the problem with that. Problem is, it's all very nice that it's in the Rishus, but it's not Munach in the Rishus. It has to be on a 4x4 area to be Munach. Rabbah had a simple solution. Since we find that Rabbi Akiva holds that if you throw a ball from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYofik, and it passes through Rishus HaRabim, that you would be Chayat, obviously Rabbi Akiva holds, so you don't need a Mokum Arba Al Arba. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to be at rest. The very fact that you pass through a Rishus HaRabim on the way to the other Rishus HaYachid is the equivalent of landing there. Fine. So according to him, when I put it down in the other guy's hand, it's landed. Despite the fact that it's not an amokam of arba al arba. Right? Simple solution. Is that a simple solution or is it not?
Isn't that totally changed what Robin said? That it's
forget about changing anything. Is that a simple solution?
How did it land in 4x4 in the other side?
In the other side?
Yeah. I mean,
he landed on the ground. No, actually, he caught it in one of those big... Yeah. All right. Now... That is a case, by the way, later on. The net that you catch it in, those things they use in your country, one of those big groups. Ah, yes. Okay, gentlemen. That's all. That was the Gemara. Very simple? Okay. We had a problem with Rava, which is an aside. The problem is, how did Rava say that? Rava didn't know that Rabbi Akiva holds that passing through is enough of a reason to be considered to be at rest. There's a completely different approach to understanding Rabbi Akiva. Maybe the reason Rabbi Akiva says you can't play ball across Rosh Hashanah is because he holds that playing ball across Rosh Hashanah is exactly the same as passing one of the Kreshim of the Mishkan from one wagon to another wagon across Rosh Hashanah. Which was actually would be at rest. You don't need to be at rest in that case. It's a different type of Otsar, which is learned out from a different Pasuk. And therefore, how does Rava all of a sudden, when he himself raised the question about what Rabbi Akiva Shita is, all of a sudden he says, well, it's obvious if Rabbi Akiva holds your chayav for playing ball across from Shuta Rabin, must be that he holds that you don't need to be at rest in Shuta Rabin. That's ridiculous. He himself offered an alternative to that explanation. So why over here is he suddenly ready to throw us that explanation that was a given? That's all very simple. Okay, this is a tangential question on Rava. Says the Gemara, okay, fine, so change his mind. So what's the big deal? No? Maybe originally he wasn't sure how to understand Rabbi Akiva. Maybe he has more data now. And he now knows the Machlok of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan indeed. Is it because of Klutik Vishunko? So said the Mahalo Kashis, that's a problem. But the Diboy, other Ichitile. Maybe after he was doubtful originally as to the meaning of the Machlok of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, after 35 years he figured it out. And I understand why you're asking this. He realized the suburb of Akiva, Kluta Kamishon Chadanya, maybe from 4,000 other places. Fine. Now we get to our president's question. Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayav. How come you're only Chayav once? Why aren't you Chayav twice? Because if you're playing ball across Rosh Hashanah, and the reason that you're Chayav is because passing through a space registers you in that space, then you registered when you landed, and you registered when you took off. So you should be chayav for both a hotzah and for a hakhnasa. He only says once. Which leads us to suspect that maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that there are two different elements when it comes to hotzah, and that we should not define hanakha as being the equivalent of akira. Maybe, indeed, akira does have to be off of a place that is arba al arba. Because all he's saying over here is dilma hanacha hu delo boy. Maybe you don't need a hanacha. In other words, you took something out of an at-rest state in a particular space. It passes through another space. Okay, it now registered in that other space. That's hotzah. But you never uprooted it from that space because it was never at rest in that space. So maybe akira is defined by removing something from being at rest. Whereas hanacha is just to register. Why would I say such a thing? What do you mean? As our president shows. There's only one chiyuv in playing ball across Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, somebody's making this distinction. Because otherwise, it should say, you're chiyuv twice. Okay, that's Rashi's dear. Exactly as we were medayek here. Okay, Tosfos has an alternative, but we'll leave it for now because you guys are sleepy enough. So, therefore, we need another explanation. Because in our Mishnah, we see that you need neither Akira nor Hanacha from a place Arba al Arba, correct? Because we see that you could put it down in the hand of the Balabai, and you'd be Chayav. That's all very nice, according to Rabbi Akiva. But in our Mishnah, also says if you take it out of the hand of the Balabai, if you're ready to say that it's not at rest unless it's in a Mokam Arba al Arba, oh my goodness, so why are you Chayav and taking it out of the hand of the Balabai? You didn't take it from a position which was at rest. Properly at rest. Properly at rest. Properly at rest.
Properly at rest.
Properly at rest.
Properly at rest.
For the same reason as you don't have the second row. The second of the field.
Right.
It's not properly at rest.
Not properly at rest. Yes. I mean, Lechora, Richie could sleep on the top of a flagpole also. In which case, it's clear that you don't need an off-on anymore.
The flagpole is probably less than off-on
guard. Right. As long as he's properly addressed.
Therefore, we need another explanation. Elam Rav Yosef Hamani Rebbe Hi. There is, in fact, a shita that holds that you don't need arba larva, and that's Rebbe. Rebbe talks about throwing something onto a flagpole. The Tanya. Zarak v'nach ha-gabeziz koshuhu, Rebbe mechayev v'chachamim potrim. That if you throw something and it lands on any type of the smallest thing that sticks out, aziz simply means anything that's jutting out. So on a small thing jutting out, despite the fact that it's only a kosher, which is an arba larba, it's at rest. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. As well you know, later on, Abaya is going to explain that case for other reasons, which needs to be done over there, that it's talking about hacha b'ilan, homei b'rshut ha'yachid, v'nofo notel b'rshut ha'rabim, which, incidentally, is irrelevant to our circuit. Where the tree is unimportant for us. What is important is that this tree has a trunk, which is arba larba. Because it has a trunk, which is arba larba, any branch is considered to be securely at rest because of the trunk. And therefore, it's considered to be arba larba. So since it's talking about Ilan HaOmed Rishut HaYachid V'Nofen HaTel Rishut HaRabim, V'Zorak V'Nacha Nofu, it landed on a branch, where Rebbe holds, in terms of the security of being at rest, Shedin Nofu Batar Ikaro, view the branch as being now arba larba because the trunk is, don't look at the trunk since the trunk is in a different rishut. Nothing to do with our circuit. Fine. So which Rebbe did you mean? That Rebbe doesn't prove that you don't need arba arba. Elohor Rebbe. It's the following case of Rebbe, the Tanya. Zarak mirshut rabim l'rishut rabim. Here we're talking about a case in which two kids are playing ball, all right. However, to their parents' chagrin, instead of playing ball from one yard to another yard across the rishut rabim, they are playing from one street to another street across the house. Yikes. Fortunately, there's no glass in the windows. Or there's no glass anymore in the windows. So now the question is, in there, Rebbe says, Beferosh, that Zarak, Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid Be'emtza, Rebbe is Mechayev, Bechachamim Potrim, and indeed Rebbe Yehuda HaBashmul says, by the way, when it says Rebbe was Mechayev, it was Mechayev twice. Once for Haknasa, when the ball enters into the Rishut HaYachid, on its way out of the Rishut HaYachid, into the other Rishut HaRabim, and once for leaving, when it leaves the Rishut HaYachid, into the Rishut HaRabim on the other side of the house. So there we have someone who clearly holds you need neither Akira nor Hanacha on a Mokum Arba Al Arba. So that would be the solution. Our Mishnah is following Rebbe's Shita. Achatz Mishum Otza'ah, V'achatz Mishum Achnasah, which proves, Alma, Lo Be'inan, Lo Akira, V'lo Anocha, Al Gabi Mokum Arba Al Arba, which means you don't need 4x4 Tfachim, because otherwise how could you possibly be Mechayev twice? Once for an hanacha in a Rishut HaYachid, which you're just passing through, and once for an akira out of a Rishut HaYachid, from which you were just passing through and never were really at rest. So now we have our Mandi Omar. Says the Gemara, no, we don't have our Mandi Omar. Because the case, gentlemen, is indeed a case where the ball passes right through the living room. You'll say, what's the nafkamin if it passes through the living room, or if it passes through a yard that is covered with bechizas? Surrounded by mechitzas, I'll tell you very simply. If it passes through the living room, there is a roof on the living room. And that defines a rishut in a new way. Normally a rishut is not defined by an upper area. But if you do define it by an upper area, then the entire rishut is viewed as having an added set of coordinates, and therefore it's completely sealed in. Normally, your x-axis and your y-axis, are one of them is going to be unlimited, right? In a normal Rishut HaYachid, because it'll extend up Ad HaShamayim. In this case, you have a limit because you're not able to go above the roof. It's still being in the same Rishut. The moment you're on the roof, you're in a different Rishut. Once that's true, the Rishut is considered to be a solid object. That type of space is solid. And in that type of space, you don't need a Hanacha. But you certainly can't extrapolate from there to the case in our Mishnah. I mean, why would I say that you don't require Akira Ananaka? Of course you require Akira Ananaka under normal conditions. And therefore, Lo Mechayev Rebbe Ela Rishut HaYachid Mikura. It's only because there's a roof on it. Since there's a roof on it, Amrin and Beit HaKaman Demalya Danya. It's as if it's all one solid thing. The fact that it happens to be passing through is no different than the way it got through the window. Abo She'eno Mikura Lo. If it were not Mikura, then none of this would work.
See that the roof extends as it were the 10 tefachim.
There's no 10 tefachim in the Rishut HaYachid, ever. Now, maybe you'll say, okay, so over here it's also roofed. A guy stuck his hand, we'll see why. A guy stuck his hand into the roof, so the balabaya takes it. He's a balabaya, there's a beautiful roof up there. I mean, so it's in his living room. So, according to Rebbe, that's the answer. Rebbe took it out of a hand that's in a beautiful living room. But the problem is, it was in the inverse as well. The balabaya deposits something in the hand of the ani. The ani is not standing in a beautiful living room. So you'll say, okay, fine, he's not standing in a beautiful living room. He's standing in a tent city. They covered over like they have right outside here in Hakam Zion. They have that little thing to shade you from the sun. Still Rishot HaRabim, isn't it? And the answer is no. It's not. The Chitema, maybe you'll try to tell me, Akanami Mikorach, talking about over here where there is an upper limit on the Rishot. No, sir. A Rishot HaYachid can be Mikorach. Therefore, yes, the Balabayat is in his beautiful living room. But a Rishot HaRabim, by definition, can never be Mikorach. By the definition of what a Rishot HaRabim is, it cannot be Mikorach. And the moment that it's Mikura, it's no longer Rishut HaRabim. Therefore, if the Mishnah is discussing a case of an Ani as a representative of Rishut HaRabim, he's obviously not standing in Rishut HaRabim Mikura. The Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Yonam Rav Abba Rav Unam Rav and Ba'avir Chepetz Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim Mikura Patur Lefish Eino Domela Dizlei Midbar. Being as the Midbar is the source of our definition of Rishuyot, the Dizlei Midbar, walking through the Midbar, did not find the Midbar Mikura. Therefore, Rishut HaRabim cannot be Mikura and still be Rishut HaRabim. How or a Mishnah? That's correct. The Kardo is Rishut HaYachid. And therefore, there is no way. We'll see that there are limits in terms of carmelite. Carmelite to sizes. That's a Takana Drabbanan issue. But it cannot be a Rishut HaRabim, a true Rishut HaRabim. Even the Astrodome. Not this one, anyway. All right, so we now have our dechia of the next approach. You can't use Rebbe as the source. We can't use Rebbe Akiva as the basis of our mission, because our mission says both Akira and Anocha are okay in a hand. You can't use Rebbe as the source of our mission, because Rebbe was only referring to an enclosed space that has a roof. And since the Mishnah refers to Rishut HaRabim, which cannot be an enclosed space with a roof by definition, it can't be Rebbe Shita. So we still don't have an answer to our problem. Our problem is that a hand is not four tachim by four tachim. It's important to say arba'ah al arba'ah, because if you say arba'ah al arba'ah, it means etzba'ot. Lashon now nekeva. And we do have many shirim that are defined by etzba'ot. So you better, in this particular case of Yitzhiyot HaShabbat, don't let your fingers do the walking. It's Davka Tzvachim. Okay? Arba'ah.
And if you talk to an Israeli about Arba'ah, you're talking about his SUV.
Oh, that's right. But then it's Rav. Yes, Motzei Shabbos. Yes, Kalman is here. Yes, could you please take care of it for me? Quickly. Tomorrow for office.
Why not on Shabbos again?
Here. Give them, please, my Gemara brothers.
Why can't the Anani Hakavod be a
Korah? It's worse than that. The Gemara says that it turned into a Korah. Right? It was Pitzuat Korah when they walked. So he says, let it be the Korah.
What?
The Anani Hakavod, let's put it turned into a Korah. Huh? No, it's a cloud is not a sealant of a Rishos. Wait!
Motzei Shabbos.
I'm sorry, but your minion is still here. To allow people to escape is not a bad thing. So I have to get back to the robe of Motzei Shabbat. So could we have it at 9:30 again? Would that be okay? No, 9:30. Very good. All right.